Take your Bibles now and turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. You're probably thinking, one verse? But I have others. To go along with the message today, the timely birth of Christ, we often think of Matthew and Luke and John giving us firsthand information about the birth of Jesus Christ. Oftentimes we don't look all the way through the Bible and see what it says about why he came to this earth and all of the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in Matthew chapter 1 here, it tells us that in the very first verse, that the record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, and the son of Abraham. So if you go back into the Old Testament, you see the genealogy of Christ and all the ancestors and heirs through the lineage of Jesus Christ. And, of course, Matthew lists them and so forth. We won't go into all of that. But in this one verse, it gives us a broad view of the lineage of Jesus Christ and his birth. And this morning in this message, I want us to look at why his birth was very timely. Even the Apostle Paul tells us that in the right time, Jesus Christ came to the earth to die for our sins. Christ crucified, but yet he was buried, raised on the third day. Now, when we look at that verse, Matthew, his first sentence, as we look at that one verse, communicates the banner headline, as I would call it, all about Jesus. And he holds nothing back. When you read through Matthew or any of the Gospels, they don't hold anything back. Jesus is the Christ, God's long-promised Messiah, as verse 1 says. He's the Savior of Israel, and that's why it mentions David's son. And also, he's the hope of all nations, which it talks about Abraham's son. So Abraham was promised many generations, and all would be blessed. So I guess if you heard the media talking today, they would say, call the press and proclaim this. Because the media is always out there, aren't they? So you would call the press and say, hey, we have an important message to share with you, and it's about Jesus Christ, the living Savior. And it'd be a roll. The videotape would roll. And we would say, this is big. And it is big, isn't it? We who believe in Jesus Christ. So God wants us to focus on his son, Jesus Christ. If you read the scriptures, that is the focus. Even the Holy Spirit of God always focuses on Jesus Christ. Never points any fingers at himself. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. But always pointing to Jesus Christ. And this is a fact. If you read through the scriptures. See, Christ is the one we should lift up in what we preach. In all that we preach. All that we teach. All that we sing. Jesus Christ is the center. And no matter the topic, we should look at how it relates to Christ. And in our Sunday school or on Wednesday nights, we want to share with everyone how our life relates to Christ. Because everything that he went through in life, we experience in somehow. But not in the magnitude of how he experienced it, because he went to the cross and he died for our sins. And he's the hope of all nations. And so when we lift up the name of Jesus, all the topics relate to Jesus. And what did Jesus say about it? What would Jesus do? A Christ-filled life is a self-emptied life. And it's the best life that you can have. If we empty our life and fill it up with God's glory, we have the best life of all. Now, whatever master a man chooses will master that man. If we choose Christ, he will master our life. And you cannot serve two masters, but you will serve one or the other. That's what Scripture says. So you can't just tip your hat to Jesus. You must bow your knees in his presence. Because the Bible says that one of these days, every tongue will confess. Every knee will bow in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, everybody needs a hero, don't they? And Jesus Christ is my hero. He really is. And I say that to all other religions today, that if it doesn't matter what you are right about, if you are wrong about Jesus. So, when you look at the Good News Choir or the Good News Club, it all signifies the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus is the good news. The Gospels aren't of four guys. They are of the gospel of Jesus. Now, our text today indicates it's all about him. But in Matthew, it began with Jesus in his human form. And that's some of the things I want to share with you today. Today we need to see Jesus from every beginning. But there are no beginning with him, really. I want to show you from the very beginning, but in the Bible it says he was Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. That means he has always existed, all three, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when we look in John chapter 1, verse 1, it tells us, and then you might want to write these scriptures down this morning because I do have many, but it is to let us know who Jesus is, his characteristics, and all of his glory, all his splendor. So John chapter 1, verse 1 says, and this says the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. That means he's always existed. And that's good, isn't it? He's always existed. At church camp, many of the kids will come up to me and says, Pastor Mike, where did God come from? I said, that is a good question, isn't it? That's a really good question. I'm glad you asked. The best answer I can give you is that he's always existed. There's, you know, from the very beginning of time, he was already here. And he will always be here. And I will get the Bible down and I'll show him Alpha and Omega. And that's A, B, C, D to Z. That's who Christ is. That's who God is. And then John verse 14 says, 1 John 14, and the Word became flesh. Who became flesh? That would be Jesus Christ. And dwelt among us. And they were just singing about that, weren't they? Emmanuel, God with us. He dwelt among us. And we saw his glory. We saw his glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. See? But, you know, Jesus laid aside all of his glory, didn't he? He laid it aside, not his deity, but his glory. But the glorious form and the privileges of deity to become the God-man for us. And that's why we celebrate the birth of Jesus this time of year, especially. So let's look at his glory for a moment. What does that mean, glory? Well, when you look at it from the standpoint of what the Bible teaches about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, it is to honor Him. To give Him glory is to praise, to recognize the importance of who He is in all of His splendor. You know, but John said, beheld His glory. But that was, you know, at the transfiguration. And Jesus Himself said He laid all of that aside. In John chapter 17, verse 5 says, "Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself." He said, "We're into this together. We're together. With the glory which I had with you before the world was." Before the world, but they always existed. So Jesus is saying here, glorify me together with yourself. Give honor where it's due. With the glory which I had with you before the world was. That's before He came to earth as a babe. So that's His glory. See, here in the beginning, before time existed, we find Jesus, and the word comes to mind is glory. See, it's the answer to any question that we may have about Jesus Christ. It starts with His glory. Who is Jesus? The Bible says He is glory. Where was He? Where was Jesus? From the very beginning, in glory. He was glory, and He's in glory. What was He like? The Bible says that He is glorious. You see the terms, how they're used, and when you look at the Greek form in this, that's why I want to point it out to you this morning, that His word, His name is most holy. Most holy. And what does He look like? We would die if we saw Him unprotected, our lives. You know why? God gives us a glimpse, a profile, yet. So let's look at it. Let's look at His glory. You know, when Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments, he couldn't see God directly, could he? What would have happened? He would have died. God allowed him to see His shadow. He saw the shadow, a cloud, which symbolizes His glory, His appearance, His presence. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, it said, For God who said, light shall shine out of the darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the lights of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. See, another form of His glory. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, now this is the KJV, which says, who bring the brightness of His glory and the expression of the image of His person. So, He shares His glory with the Father, and we too, you see, can experience His glory. In our lives every day, we can experience His glory when we pray, when we sing to Him, when we communicate to Him, with Him. We see His glory in our lives as He shines through us as a light, because Jesus came into the world to be the light of the world. If you read through John, the first chapter, I just read the first few verses, but He came to take darkness away from this world, which is the He is the light, and we are the little lights that are supposed to shine. See, that's our witness. That's our testimony in our lives, that we are to shine as well. And in John chapter 17, verse 22, it says, the glory which You have given Me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as We are one. We sing it, choir singing about Emmanuel, God with us. So, he's wanting us to share in his glory, and we can as we are children of God. Not only do we see his glory in the scripture, but we see his love as well. In John chapter 17, verse 24, I hope you're writing these scriptures down. That way you can always go back and read them and study them. And see, this gives you the understanding of the timely birth of Jesus Christ. It was very timely. It was very important that Jesus came when he did, for the whole world's sake. And it's because of his only begotten Son, because of his love, that he came for us. See, John chapter 17, verse 24 says, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, that's you, that's me, that's everyone that's ever proclaimed the name of Jesus, you have given me, with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundations of the world. From the very beginning, from very existence, they existed. You and I didn't, but we weren't far off, were we? Because God created and placed us here, the world. See, love existed before time as well. And God is love, according to John 3:16. See, it shows how God loves us, though we were sinners. See, he sent his glory our way. Aren't you glad he sent his glory our way, your way, that we might be a part of God's great plan? So, love is eternal. It's always been. It always will be. It wasn't invented by humans. It was given by God, his glory. Now, let's look at his grace. In 2 Timothy, Paul talks about it in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. He says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Now that covers a lot, doesn't it? He saved us. He gives us a holy calling in life. First of all, that comes by salvation. And then in our lives, somewhere along the line, as we get closer to him, as we pray and surrender or yield our life to him, say, Lord, I'm all yours. We're going to be singing that in a few minutes, aren't we? I surrender all. How often we sing that? Say, Lord, I surrender all, but how do we really, sometimes we think, do we really give our all to the Lord? Or is it just words sometimes? But he wants all of us. And the Holy Spirit can get all of us. We don't get more of the Spirit, but the Spirit can get more of us as we surrender to him. See, Jesus has always been the embodiment of grace. See, grace has always existed. Because all of these things have always existed because God has always existed. Jesus Christ has always existed. The Spirit of God has always existed. Grace has always existed. And all who are saved by it. And we can be proud of the name of our church. For it's by God's grace that we can be a part of the body of Christ. Versailles Baptist Church is a part of the body of Christ. See, it's not about denomination at all, is it? It's about our lives and who we belong to. The church of God is the established church. And that's why Jesus said, on this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. So, once we are part of the family of God and all of his glory and all of his grace, it's sealed by the Holy Spirit. According to Genesis chapter 1, verse 13, We are sealed until the day of redemption. You see, that's applicable in our lives. We can share that with other people that we meet. We know it, we have it, and we can share it with other people so they will know it and can have it. And that's what's so important about this time of year as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. It's not just that he's a babe, but he is the Heavenly Father. He is the Son. He is the Spirit and who drives our lives. And that's why his birth was so timely. And that's why Matthew starts out from the very beginning giving us a genealogy of Jesus Christ, saying he's the King, David's son. He's for all generations to come, Abraham's son. You see, that's why all of those are listed down through there. And we're a part of that. What a glorious, glorious thing to be a part of God's kingdom. And then we see his wisdom. See, only God could conceive of this wonderful plan to share his glory through love and grace. And Paul talks about it also in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, where he says, "But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery." You see, even to Paul, he was called by God as an apostle, but to him as he spoke it and as it was revealed to him, he said, even it can't be a mystery. But for the Christian, we can have discernment from God through the power of the Holy Spirit as we read and as we pray, and he will reveal it to us, you see. That's what's so good about the wisdom of God. See, God's willing to share his wisdom with us. He's willing to reveal it to us, but we have to ask for it. And that's why James in chapter 1, verse 5 says, if you lack wisdom, ask for it, and he will not hold it back. He will give it to you. But 1 Corinthians 2:17 says that we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages in our glory. So from the very beginning of time, it was predestined for us to know it and understand it and have the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we could apply it in our lives. So we would know how to live a Christian life, a godly life, a holy life, a righteous life, a pure life. We need wisdom. We can't do it on our own, can we? We can't do it. That's why Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 15, you know, you have to abide in me. And abiding in me, you will have the wisdom, be able to apply the things in life to be able to function, to be able to share. See, Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And it makes it clear that our glorious, loving, gracious Savior is forever embodiment of wisdom. Proverbs 3:19 says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by the understanding he established the heavens." I like that. And then Proverbs 8:22 says, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old." So you see, we can have his wisdom. It will be revealed to us. And then we have the promise. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, "In the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promising long years ago." That's the promise. See, Jesus is a promised one. He's a promised one because he was prophesied from the Old Testament. And it was revealed in the New Testament when Jesus came. See, And as surely as God kept his promise about Jesus coming to earth, he will keep his promise about the second coming and the end of the world. You know, people didn't believe Noah, did they? They didn't believe it. He preached 120 years, and everybody said, well, you're a fake. You don't know what you're talking about. It's never rained. It never will rain. World's not going to end. It did. And people trying to prophesy today and say, Jesus is coming again, or he won't come again. He's coming again. The Bible says he is. And see, that's the promise. If you tell someone and you're honest and sincere in your heart about it, and sometimes they will say, do you promise? And you say, I promise. That means it's going to happen. See, we sometimes break a promise, don't we? You ever broke a promise? You don't have to worry about God. He'll never break a promise. Everything that's ever been said in the Word, prophesied, has so far taken place, and it will be taking place, and he will be coming back again. And the Bible says soon. Now soon, it might mean today, it might be tomorrow, or it might be a year, it may be 10 years, but in God's time, that is soon. In our time, we may have to wait a while, right? But in God's time, it's soon, because 1,000 years is a day to the Lord. To us, that's a long time, isn't it? But he is coming again. And you know what? Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in around verse 13, that we are to encourage one another with these sayings. That when he splits the open sky, trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive and remain will be caught up to be with the Lord. And then that's when Paul says, encourage one another. See, we should be encouraged with that. Because if we stay in this world where there's sin, reaped, devil is full leashed into this world, causing temptations and everything else to happen in this world, and we say, enough is enough. And the Lord says in his word, I will come again. I will take you out of all of this. See, that's our promise. This is a promise he's talking about here this morning. And as surely as his promise about heaven are true, his promises about hell is true. And he has promised to save you if you will let him. That's his promise. And not only does he talk about the promise, but he talks about the Lamb. You know, last week the message was in Revelation. The Lamb of God, the Son of God. In Revelation 13:8, all who dwell on earth will worship him. Who's that him? It's the beast. He's talking about the tribulation right here. Those who are left behind, those who remain upon this earth after God calls the Christians out of this world. Because we're in chapter 13, back in chapter 3, verse 5, where the Lord is talking to John about the church at Sardis. He said, you're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have the white garments on. And those who have the white garments on and ready to meet the Lord, I will testify before the Father, you belong to me. And the angels as well. You see, Jesus is talking to the seven churches in the first, chapter 2 and chapter 3. But after chapter 3, see, the church is not mentioned anywhere. You know why? Because God has called the church out of this wicked world. And the tribulation is going on right now here in verse 13, verse 8, and that's why he says, all who dwell on earth will worship him. The beast is who he's talking about. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundations of the world in the Lamb's book of life, the book of life of Lamb, who has been slain. Who's been slain? It was Jesus Christ. And those are the ones that he's talking about there that rejected Christ. So the Lamb is very important. He was slain. He was a sacrifice. You see, all of these other things I've talked about up to then was his glory, including the Lamb. But if everybody or people in this world rejects the Lamb, then their name will be blotted out of the book of life. And then, all through the scriptures, it says that we are given a choice. We're given a choice. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, just as he chose us, now listen, look at this very closely, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, aren't you glad he chose you? Before the foundations of the world? Before you were even born, he chose you? He chose me? That we would be holy and blameless before him, and it says, in love. He loved us that much. So whom has God chosen? Only the saved. Only the saved? No. He chose to share his glory with all who would receive it. But not all has received his glory. See, it says, God so loved the world, John 3:16. And it's by grace that we can be saved. It's only by God's grace that we can be saved. But in his wisdom, as I talked about a while ago, he has acknowledged from the very beginning which among us would choose him. See, God has all the wisdom. He has all the wisdom in the world. He knows he's going to choose him, his son. He knows he's going to reject him. See, we have the choice to claim his promise and accept the sacrifice blood of the Lamb. But it's awesome to think that God knew me. That he knew me and you before there was time. And cares enough about all the details, including the choices that we would make. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome? From our perspective, our choice hasn't been made. We all have a free will and clean slate ahead of us. All who belong to the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ. See, God didn't say, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, did he? He didn't say that. He said, you chose me because I chose you first. Just like when he chose the disciples. And they were trying to scratch in their head and trying to make sense of all of what's going on. And Jesus said, I chose you. You didn't choose me. I have a purpose for you. I have a meaning for your life. And it's going to serve you well. And then in 2 Peter 3:9, drawing to a close here. This is so important. The timely birth of Christ is so important to us. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slow about his promise. See, there's that promise I shared about a while ago. He's not slow about his promise. As some count slowness, but is patient. Aren't you glad that God is patient? We run out of patience, don't we? But God is patient. I'm glad he is patient with me. I really am. And I know that you're glad he's patient with you. But is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And that's why he hasn't come. That's why the second coming hasn't happened yet. Because he is patient. Because people go through this world sinning, doing evil acts against the Father. And yet he is patient. But one of these days, the Lord is going to say, enough. Well, the Heavenly Father will. And then he will look at Jesus Christ and he says, okay, it's time. Now is the time for you to go back to the earth. He won't touch the earth. He will descend from heaven in the air, and everyone will be called up to him in due time. And it will be timely, as the scripture says. You know, Jesus said, whosoever will may come. See, that's an invitation. We always give an invitation at the very end of our service. And see, God's invitation is always open. See, our service is not always in place. We're here right now. But here in a few minutes, we'll close our service. But God's invitation to come to salvation is always there. Whosoever will come, whosoever believeth, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anyone can be saved. The chosen are all who choose the Lord. The elect, all who elect to receive his salvation. And everything preached so far today is what we know about Christ before there was time. Everything I've shared with you today is what we know about Christ before there was time. But then he created time, and all that is, all that you see now, all belongs to God. You belong to God. I belong to God. Everything belongs to God in this world. We don't own anything. We're on borrowed time, aren't we? So we should use our time wisely. Use it with wisdom. And know that we have been chosen by God. And we can experience all of his glory. So timely for every one of us. And all we have to do is say yes to the calling of the Holy Spirit, and then we're on God's team. We'll all be a part of God's kingdom one of these days, not only now, but eternity. The birth of Christ, how timely it was. Amen. Our Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for your scriptures. And Lord, we didn't even tip the iceberg of all that you talk about your son Jesus Christ and why he came and why we're here on this earth and how you want to use us and all the things you prepared for us in glory in heaven. Lord, we can, like Paul said, we can't even imagine, can't even comprehend, but we do know that you love us. You called us. You chose us. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you today, they will choose you as their Savior. Anyone looking for a church home, whatever that calling is in everyone of our lives here today, may we say yes. As we sing, just as I surrender all, I pray, Lord, that we'll mean it from the depths of our hearts. We praise you and we thank you. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Hymn number 366, let us stand as we sing our hymn of invitation.
Thank you.
thank you for coming and taking this time to worship. And we have Sunday school today. Have other activities going on.